Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
You know, somewhere Andy Hart is in the Caribbean, feet up, fruity beverage in hand, thinking this is the life. He's going to come back and go, wait a second, I missed the biggest shooting fish in a barrel week of radio of all time with the biggest sports trade in Boston in at least a half a decade.
Well, we have
damn it.
We have his response. He did text us the other night, Nick. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
So Andy's response last night to this trade was, Craig Breslow is the man. Show that fat, lazy, me first, no leading bastard who's boss. Heart out. Happy Father's Day to all.
That's not real.
Shows the human side right
real.
At the end.
That sounds like Andy to me. Yeah, I believe it. Unless you have AI Andy over there.
That was last night at 7:28.
Remember the one day where he was on Rafael Devers' side? That lasted, one day.
Look, guys, like Raffy is a big brat. I just wonder how many fall guys do we have to go through before things change for the Red Sox? Because at this point, they're really tallying them up. And I didn't like Rafael at the end either. I don't know why I'm using his full name like I'm his upset mother. But like, no. I didn't like it at the end either. But at the same time, I'm just kind of past that reaction of like, yeah, get him out of here. Yeah, fire that guy. Yeah, because it's the same crap every year. And this season was supposed to be different.
It's not. Hate to break it to you, but you wonder where all of this comes. Like, is this a John Henry thing? Is this a Sam Kennedy thing? Is this a Fenway Sports Group thing? Like, I don't know, but every year they find a new something or other to, you know, convolute matters and frustrate the fan base. They lead you one way and then they, you know, bank a turn and when you're least expecting it. I tell you, Netflix picked the wrong year to follow the Red Sox. They were a year too early. Because can you imagine if the clubhouse was filming right now? Oh, that would be so juicy. Speaking of juicy tidbits, Dan Ball, do you happen to have that quote from, I first read about it from our pal Boston Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast, had it online. Do you have that David Ortiz quote on Rafi Devers and his disappointment in the matter?
As a matter of fact, I do. So this was shared via Jansen Pujols, who is a Spanish language journalist. David Ortiz said, quote, players need to take this as an example. Nobody is indispensable. You have to be available. That was the end of the relationship between Devers and the Red Sox. You need to be smart to understand the situation. Your worst enemy is your ego.
Ooh,
very
wow.
Poignant.
Wow, that is some enlightened perspective from a man who was super not good at playing first base, but whenever asked to do so, did so for his team. Granted, Mego, it wasn't for half a season. I don't know what the promises that that were made to David Ortiz happened to have been back in 2004, 7, 13, whatever. All I know is that he did whatever the team asked of him as well. And I thought Rafael Devers would have gone joyfully into the David Ortiz role, seeing, wow, this guy became a legend just being a powerful left-handed bat in the middle of a good order. Why can't I as well? And if they ever ask me to pick up the glove, so be it. I think that is the kind of petulance he displayed that leads people like me, as I did in my three-point stance last hour, to say, you know what, fine. Take your glove, take your ball cap, take your lousy attitude and fly across the country and go play for a different fan base.
Yeah, and David Ortiz isn't just saying that after the fact. Rob Bradford had him on Baseball Isn't Boring, and he was talking after spring training, after the whole Bregman meltdown that Rafi Devers had, that he had to put his ego aside. He used almost that exact phrasing, like, put the ego aside, just try it out, try doing what they ask of you, and then give the feedback. Don't just say no outright. So it's not like this is something that Ortiz is just saying after the fact and saying like, oh, and now Ortiz is speaking out. This has been going on for months.
Yeah, It has been going on for months. I guess they finally reached critical mass and they couldn't handle it. Do you really think, by the way, before we get back to the calls, do you really think Rafael Devers believes himself to be that good of a fielder?
I think deep down, no. But I think he's just prideful. He's just really proud about his position on the team. And he knows the contract that he was bringing in and that he was only 2 years into it. So he's probably like, you guys are bringing in this guy who used to work with Cora in Houston. And by the way, he's got so many outs on that contract, Alex Bregman. So like I was here first. I'm the face of the franchise. I should have claim to third base. I think that's how he saw it. Not even about like, he's better, I'm better. Like, this is, I was here first, and I'm the one that's bringing in the money and everything.
Yeah, but also improving your defense and doing whatever's in the best interest of the team usually helps lead to wins, which makes long-term deals more satisfying. But what would I know? Just a guy who loves talking sports. And I want to bring in more of the good people of Red Sox Nation and WEEI. Like, oh, Nathan in Ipswich is back. There we go. Hi, Nathan. How are you? Don't do it to me.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
There he is. All right. What's up, buddy?
So I just want to talk about the situation with, like, the outfield and stuff. Like, what's your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is that they should settle on one outfield and one infield for the remainder of the season if they can. Quit bouncing people around between second base, first base, DH, left field, center field. Is Rafael going to be a center fielder? Is he going to move to shortstop? Or second base? Where is the best spot to play Anthony? Where's Duran going to play? I just want them to pick a lineup and roll with it the rest of the way. I don't know how you feel, Mago.
Devers has to feel relieved because, remember, he said that he was worried that ownership was going to ask him to play the outfield next. So God, at least he's got that weight off his shoulders going over to San Francisco. I don't think they're going to be doing that out there.
Oh, no, but he just said wherever they want him to play, he'll play out.
Is that real? I've heard, is that a real quote? Some of these, the new Twitter X,
hogwash?
I don't know. I'll double check it now. I haven't looked at it since somebody sent it like an hour ago.
It could be a parody account. Sometimes we get, it's from Buster Only, not Buster Only.
Okay. I'm not sure
I'm not sure who it's from, but it could very well be a parody. But I wouldn't be surprised if he says that. I doubt he'll be at first base when the Red Sox open a three-game series at AT&T Park.
I hope he smacks a grand salami on us.
You know what? And I hope whoever's pitching plunks him right in his ham hock. I've missed the days of Pedro just pointing at the head of Posada and being like, look forward to your next at bat, buddy. I got my eye on you.
Do you think there's going to be that much animosity?
I don't know how quite honestly, I have no idea how any of the players in the clubhouse feel about it.
I'm
sick of the animus, sick of the drama, sick of Devers.
Sick of it, but I don't think they're like throw at that guy's head. That's kind of a surprising reaction to me if that's what happens on Friday.
No, I don't think they'd throw at his head, but could I see them drilling him in the ass? Sure.
It's a nice target. It's pretty big.
Got him.
Are you proud of yourself?
What? You teed it up. What do you want me to do?
It's a broad target. It is. That's good low-hanging fruit right there.
And then you hear from Rob Bradford. Yep. You did. You did. You did hear from him yesterday. That man worked like 20 hours yesterday.
That's exactly what the trade announcement sounded like, as a matter of fact, when I read it.
Yeah, good job to Arcane and Bradford last night. I was tuned in the whole time.
Nice. We have the best guys on it, my friend. Don't you worry. New England Sports Original always has you covered. All right, moving on. Tony's in Bridgewater. I always look forward to this guy's calls. Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's happening? You know, anybody who's calling about the Mookie was a cheap out, okay? Devers was not a contract dump. It was a Devers dump. This malcontent, that guy pissed me off so much. And I blame the Red Sox for this, for placating that bum and for giving a $300 million contract to a two-tool player. Only five tool players get $300 million.
What's the second tool?
When they sign into that contract, he hits for average, he hits for home runs. That's it.
Okay.
These other guys, the Trout and the Mookie, they're five tool players, and you can add a sixth for Mookie because what's between his ears. There's no comparison with this stuff over here. Thank God that guy's gone because – all you did is clog up. You got a guy. He is a good hitter, but he's not worth that money to begin with. In 5 years, he's going to be a gimp. He comes in. Oh, you know, look at the guy when he's running. I got to tell you something. The last time he didn't run out of ground ball, that was the bottom line. Like,
thank you very much for the call, Tony. I think he's talking about the now infamous non-legged out grounder to the pitcher against the Yankees in the Bronx last weekend as well. Was there a groin strain that he aggravated when he tried to jump back to first, and therefore he figured, well, I'm already out, so I'm not going to try to hustle down the line? Did that bother Cora? Cora said it wasn't a lack of hustle play, but you got to wonder, like, didn't the Red Sox trading of Nomar, didn't that happen shortly after the extra innings game where Nomar was pouting on the bench and Jeter dove into the stands to try to track down a fly ball? You remember the game I'm talking about, Mego?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're trying to look for, like, cause and effect, it pretty clearly seems to go back to the meeting in Kansas City. Like, that was the last straw. I asked Chris Cotillo a couple hours ago at this point, like, was that the first domino to fall and what would become the deal that we saw yesterday? And he's like, it was the last one. The owner flew out there to have a one-on-one with Rafi Devers and say, can you please just do us a solid? And he was like, nope. And that's it. My question is just, like, why does it then take over 5 weeks to put together a deal that's as lackluster as this one that you get in return?
How about this? Okay, so now we have confirmation. This freaking guy. We now have confirmation thanks to a piece by Timothy Rapp in the Major League Baseball section of Bleacher Report. Yes, and this is properly sourced. Dan Ball did his due diligence during Tony from Bridgewater's wonderful rant. Get this. Here's a quote from Buster Posey indicating Monday that Devers could play in a number of roles for the team after Sunday's stunning trade. Quote, there's the possibility to play third some with Chapman out to get some in at first and DH. By all accounts, he's a winner. He wants to do what he can to help the team. Obviously, there was some back and forth with him and the Red Sox, and I don't have all the details of where things went sideways, but he's excited to be in San Francisco and help our team win. How do you wear that one, Mego? How's that one suit you?
We'll see how long the honeymoon lasts. He's happy now. We'll see what happens when they ask him to do something that he doesn't feel like
is in his job description. Is this all on Bloom? Wasn't it Bloom, Mego? We talked about this on Friday a bit, too, as well, from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Wasn't it Bloom who said, oh, when you sign this deal, yeah, you're our third baseman of the future. You can play third. We're not going to move you around.
I mean, allegedly, that's what Devers said that he said. We don't know that he made that deal.
But why would he ruin?
Why would Devers exaggerate that? Because it's what he wanted.
Seemed pretty adamant about it.
Yeah. And then, by the way, Cora's response was, yeah, that guy's not here anymore. So,
and that was the right response.
Two guys making a deal for the Red Sox who are no longer with the organization.
Okay, well, obviously there weren't a lot of people in the organization standing up for Rafael Devers. However, our friend John in the truck would like to. John in the truck, what up?
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I absolutely wanted to stand up for Devers. You know, he had a contract, right? We all know. None of us have any idea what the details are in that contract. But if they had a contract provision that said you will play any position we tell you to play, and he signed it, you know what I mean? Then I would say that's fair enough to make him do that, right? But if they don't have that kind of clause in the contracts, the players really get to control their lives now and dictate how they will be handled and managed and unbreakable contracts, then good for him for standing up for himself that that's what he wanted to do. Would I have liked that he would have put the first baseman's mitt on and gone and played like George Scott? You know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, the call was just fine up until that point. And honestly, that kind of language is usually warranted. I'm sure a lot of us said worse otherwise. But thank you, John. I appreciate the call. I doubt many players, Mego, have language in their contract that says you will only play third, or you will play where we tell you, or, you know, it's just aren't they just usually you will play? I don't know. I don't read a lot of these deals. I barely have enough time to read my kids' books at night. I don't have time to read 30-page contracts that say you'll get paid X amount of dollars to play for X number of years for this professional baseball team.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of contract looks like that. I think it's usually just a given when you're making that much money that you look at the situation and say, I could probably do this for like 2 weeks and then we'll see where we're at. But again, maybe that's just a given. And if he had a conversation with Chaim Bloom years ago where Chaim Bloom said, we see you as our third baseman as the future, I'd also say maybe then improve a lot more at third base because your defensive numbers were terrible. So
you weren't good at it.
You had so many errors. Like, get better. And otherwise, you're going to get replaced because you turn into a hole on the field.
Yeah, he was a liability at third base. He was the worst defensive third baseman in the American League last season. And for that, the Red Sox went out and found a better team leader who had no problem being a vocal representative of the team and what they were trying to do this year, who also was better. Yes, I know he made a couple errors in April. But Bregman was a much better choice defensively at third base, a gold glove winner as well. And now they told Rafael Devers, hey, we may need you to play some first, but you can put your glove away for now and hit. And all the sore pride, it's just so silly. It is just so silly. I'll tell you who may have an idea, Mego, about the language in baseball contracts and how that works. Our pal Lou Merlone, who we'll be speaking to in just 10 minutes time here on WEEI Afternoons. Okay, we got time for one more quick call. Here we go. You'll love this, Mego. Nick out in Palmer with a basketball trade comp involving your guy, Endeavors. What's up there, Nick?
Hey, guys. Thanks. Yeah, I love the show as always. Fitzy, thanks, big sir. Nick energy. Yeah, Mego, love you, but about an hour ago, I don't even remember the context because I get nervous on hold. You brought up Marcus Smart. Now, I've been thinking since this all blew up in spring training that Marcus Smart could end up being a really good comp for this. He was with the Celtics for a long time, and when he got traded, there was weeping in the streets and on the airwaves. But to my recollection, revisionist history, if we win, when he was actually with the team, the discourse around him was, okay, one DPOY, but it was a lot of bitching about shot selection, right? Like the whole, you know, the Derek White putback was off of Marcus Smart brick, right? So we were all really sad when he left, but we didn't love him while he was. And once this started unfolding with Devers, I was like, what if trading him is actually, like, well, win about it, even though we're complaining now, we're all going to cry and pretend like we miss him, even though we don't want him on the team right now, but it could actually be the missing piece. Now, the difference, obviously, is that for Marcus Smart, we got Kristaps Porzingis. We didn't get anything close to Porzingis for this. My crackpot conspiracy theory is Willier Abreu's quote-unquote oblique strain is really a corporate mandate Fenway flu, and that he's getting ready to get out as well, and that's cleared the runway for that. Who knows? But I don't love the optics. I don't love the time. I don't love the return, but as much as you need to factor in the organizational side of how Devers was treated, I still think trading Devers was the right move.
I think that's a fair comparison.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate the call.
In terms of the polarization that both athletes had with the fan base, but I think you said it right there, Nick. Like, you got Kristaps Porzingis, and this wasn't something where they were so fed up with Marcus that they were trying to trade him for 4 months. It was because they were trying to trade Malcolm Brogdon for Kristaps Porzingis, and in the 11th hour, they couldn't execute that trade with Washington, so they ended up having to dangle Marcus Smart out there. Like, that's right. that you got a tremendous piece back, and unfortunately that didn't pan out exactly the way that you wanted it to, but I don't think in that sense, like, yeah, they're both polarizing guys to a lot of people, but in the sense of the return, I don't even think it's comparable.
Are the Red Sox done making moves? Could they ship more people out of town? Could they have their eye on some other major league caliber players to come in now that Rafael Devers will be playing first, third, maybe pitching relief like Kike Hernandez and more for the San Francisco Giants? Did it have to happen?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now, is that all they could have gotten? And who are the guys that they got back? That and so much more. We'll ask all these questions of our good friend Lou Merlone when he joins us in just moments here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have to catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports and beyond.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.